activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
Who built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye, I call to order this, the seventh meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Welcome, everybody. I'm Club President Dave Nelson. Joining us is Mr. Vice President Matt Stein. How are you, Matt?
I am really good, knowing that I got a Mr. in front of my name. It means I'm moving up in the world.
Also here is Secretary Brad Ludwig. What are you working on, Brad?
What am I working on?
I don't know. You're a secretary. You got to be working on something, right?
Typing
a memo to somebody, possibly?
Yes, I'm typing a memo, right? Can you hear it?
Okay.
Typing a memo right now.
I knew it. And finally, Treasurer Anessa Moyens. What's up, Anessa?
We're broke, FYI.
You're broke?
I'm like the worst treasurer ever.
Oh, you're spending all our money on frivolous things. I told you about that. I warned you.
To get my nails not done.
That's it. You're not secretary anymore. Matt, that's your job now.
Ah, crap. We're screwed.
All right. Let's introduce our guest geek this week. He is the artist behind the webcomic Star Crossed, co-host and producer of the Comics Coast to Coast podcast and the host of the Citadel Cafe podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, cartoonist, illustrator, and podcaster, Joel Duggan. Joel, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hang on. That's your fanfare.
All right. Well, that's kind of lackluster.
See, and here I was expecting a fart noise for my fanfare.
Okay.
Well, that's just when you
no
first...
dice, right? That's just pre-show.
That's pre-show. I'm so sorry for that.
For the record, everybody, it was a fake fart noise. It wasn't a real fart.
But you can't leave out the part that Brad had no idea Joel had entered the hangout.
I was looking silence. Down. Matt just... said something, and he and I fight like little children sometimes. And I was looking down, and I went, and I look up, and there's Joel. I'm like, oh, Lord, what did I do?
It's like swearing in front of your parents.
A little bit. You want real grown-up stuff, try watching Game of Thrones with your parents.
Ooh.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I can only imagine having heard what it's about. If I sat down and watched it with my dad, it would become quite awkward.
Yeah, I have enough trouble even discussing it sometimes with my parents, because like my dad has always been a big sci-fi geek, and like that's how I got into it, and so he enjoys Game of Thrones, and we like the fantasy stuff, but then he'll start talking about certain scenes or certain stuff. He's like, oh God, please don't mention the incest. Just don't go that road. Just don't. And then he starts like you can see him kind of glaze over it, and you're just kind of like, yes. I don't have to worry about that. Like, I don't want to have that discussion right now. It's got all these great fantasy moments that you want to share with somebody, but then there's just these little bits. You're just like, nope, don't want to talk about that. Don't want to talk about that either. it's intense.
Yeah, no matter how much we grow up, there's always that parent-child dynamic that you can never really get over at all. All right, we are here to talk about sci-fi, the week's science fiction news, and each of us brought a story to the show tonight. But first, before we get to new business, let's do old business. Brad, read the minutes from last time. Not actually last time, because we had a special last time. We had the summer movie draft last week, which, by the way, Matt, you and I are leading. Yay.
Well, there's only one movie.
Well, there's no other movies going on.
We're still leading. We're still leading.
You had the crappiest pick, and you still would have been leading.
I sense a hint of jealousy.
Yes.
Nope.
Just saying.
We'll talk about that more at the end of the show. But first, Brad, tell us what we talked about the last meeting.
I feel like we've left Joel out here. Joel, our last show, we had three teams, and we all kind of picked all the summer movies that were coming out, and through a bidding process, essentially it was like poker for geeks for summer movies, and we're just kind of keeping track of the domestic gross for each of the movies that we picked, and whoever comes out on top at the end of the summer season is declared the winner.
I am familiar with such movie drafts.
Okay, well, I'm glad that I wasted your time with that. But,
but hey, you know what,
you
Brad?
I'm going to do this endless bait, and I'm just going to see how far I can just pull Brad along.
First the mouth fart noises, and then I talk to you like a child.
I tease. it's good that you explained it, because everybody does it differently, right? I mean, some people go international, some people are just domestic, like in terms of the grosses and stuff like that. Do you guys stick solely to sci-fi movies and stuff like that? Do you limit your choices, or is it just whatever under the sun?
It was all the summer movies.
It's pretty much. It's
whoever had the most cartoons will most likely win.
Coming from an illustrator, that makes a lot of sense, right?
See, I think that's where Ness and I are going to mop up. Bam. Mm-hmm.
See,
so which ones did you get? How to Train Your Dragon 2?
Yes.
Yeah, we ended up with, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and then we ended up with...
you guys got 22 Jump Street, right?
No.
Oh, that was... I wanted that one.
We did, we picked up Maleficent.
Like Guardians and Maleficent. Mm.
Yeah, I can see that. That's almost a cartoon.
Yeah.
Almost. So,
we got Rio 2. It opens Friday.
That's all that counts. That's all that matters, is Rio 2.
Everybody take your kids there.
Yeah. I am behind the times. You know, like I've seen a couple of previews. I watched the newest Spider-Man trailer the other day, and I was like, oh, yeah, I've really got to go see that when it comes out. And then I'm looking on Apple TV, and they're, like, showing showtimes. It's like, is that out already? Like, just there's a bunch of movies that I thought were coming that are out, like Winter Soldier is out, and I thought that was, like, down the line. I was thinking, like, May or something. There's a lot of stuff where I've got to get off my butt and get to the theater.
It's because it's still snowing in Nova Scotia. That's why you think it's February still.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I always thought summer movies started in May.
Well, this is the thing, right? Yeah. Well, summer doesn't start here until, I don't know, July.
Well, you got that going for you.
Yeah. they're just movies around here. There's no real season to it. They just kind of... What kind of movie is it, Joel? It's a May movie. It's
May blockbuster is coming out.
Yeah.
All right, Brad.
Let
us know what we talked about last time before the summer movie draft.
All right. We discussed, first off, our guest geek was Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor is a longtime listener of the Galactic Netcast shows, and he's also kind of a member of the team in by way of like field reporting, and he goes to he went to Planet Comic Con, which is in his neck of the woods, and he gave us a little bit of a report on that. And he does go to some other conventions. He and his wife do cosplay, and he is very good with his hands, so he does make props and other costuming things, he and his wife together. So he talked a little bit about that in the last episode. We talked about Sundance's science fiction hit, The Signal, finally getting a trailer, and we discussed about that film a little bit. We talked about lesser-known sci-fi films coming out this year, Space Station 76, Welcome to Yesterday, The Machine, Debug, and The Prototype. We talked about Prometheus 2. They have a new writer, and it's going to open March 2016. We spoke a little bit about Patrick Stewart doing a voice for one of the animated sections of Neil deGrasse Tyson's show, Cosmos.
That was awesome, by the way. Did you guys watch that?
Yes, absolutely.
No. It's on my list. I have access, but I haven't had a chance yet.
What's really interesting about it is they do like the Ship of the Imagination stuff, which is Neil deGrasse Tyson kind of taking that moment to say, okay, we're going to shrink down to super tiny size and we're going to look at, cell growth or DNA structure or things like that. And then there are other bits where they talk about history, historical things that happened, and they have, Cary Elwes did a voice for a section, two episodes ago. Patrick Stewart did the voice of, I can't remember the scientist now, but they get actual big-name people to do some of the voices for these historical animated portions of the show, which is really kind of cool. And lastly, the story that Jason brought to the table was the story of the full-scale Millennium Falcon Project, where a group of people have gotten together and they are actually building a one-to-one scale Millennium Falcon where people can go inside of it. The eventual goal is to, have something set up where people can have pictures taken inside of it. And it looks like a really, really cool thing. So we discussed that.
Do you remember where that was? That was somewhere down south in the U.S., right?
I thought it was like Tennessee-ish, somewhere towards the middle.
It's Nashville.
Okay. It's going to be a huge...
I'm sorry. No, they've got a number of... There's a crew in Huntsville that have taken on the cockpit and console. So they've kind of divided this up by different sections of Tennessee neighbors that are working on making this thing happen.
It's going to be a huge...
We still haven't told me I was right when I said Tennessee.
Okay, Matt, you were right. You were right. Congratulations.
It's far between when I can spout any sort of Star Wars knowledge. I take them when I can get them.
It's not really Star Wars knowledge.
Just kick me when I'm down, Dave.
Okay.
All right. Cool. All right. So that's
it. And Matt was right. So there we go.
Yep. Matt, yes. You're right. You're right, Matt. I'm going to say it for the rest of the episode. You're right, Matt.
Mark it on the calendar.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that sound clip, and then when my phone rings, it's just going to be Dave saying, "You're right," over and over. And then
you're
I'm going
right,
to call
Matt,
myself.
Right.
You're right, Matt. You're right, Matt. You're right, Matt.
Well, I'm married, so we all know I never hear it from my wife, so I take them where I can get them.
It's really sad that you need that affirmation on your phone. Help make your life better.
All right.
Shut up, Brad.
Let's move
I'm
going
to drive to Appleton and give you a hug.
Let's do it.
Before that happens, let's move on to new business. And Matt has the first story of the show. What do you got there, Matt?
Oddly enough, it's a Star Wars story, kind of. The Big Bang Theory has gotten the okay to do a Star Wars-themed episode. The details weren't super great, so I just picked and chose some of the stuff. It says that they're recreating Dagobah. It sounds like they're going to be visiting it in the episode.
Awesome.
My favorite was that Bob Newhart will be included. He plays Professor Proton. And it sounds like he will be Professor Proton, and then also he will be playing an actual Star Wars character. They won't say who it is, and it sounds like he really gets down with a lightsaber. And to make things even better, the episode airs on May 4th, which is Star Wars Day. Most people, May the 4th be with you. So I'm actually really looking forward to this. And there was slow video game news this week for this guy, but I do really like the show. So it should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory is awesome. You can watch it almost any time of the day. It's on at any time.
The only nerdy show that I would say is better than the Big Bang Theory would be the IT Crowd, and that's because that's what I do.
No, I can see that. That's a great show.
It can relate to all of that. We actually crack a lot of jokes about that show. So that the fact that that's Dawn, the Big Bang Theory, is now my go-to for TV sitcom nerdity.
Do you answer the IT line? Did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
You know how many times I've said that to people, and then they lie to you about it, and then I'm like, hey, I can prove that you didn't do this. And they're like, yeah, I didn't really do it. And then they do it, and then it works.
So any guesses who the Bob Newhart character is going to be? I have one, but I'm going to let you guys guess first.
I'm going to say Obi-Wan.
That would have been my guess.
Yeah, kind of the old smart guy.
Or they could put green on him, and he could become...
Oh, and that would make sense as to why they're going to Dagobah.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
Joel, thoughts?
I kind of want to put Bob Newhart in a Darth Vader costume.
Yeah.
See, they could all make sense, though.
Yeah.
You know, he could take the mask off and reveal that it's him.
I could see that. Like, you know, Darth Vader being like a menacing presence the whole episode, and at the very end it's revealed that it's just Bob Newhart in a costume. that would be pretty good. I mean, what's caught my eye is actually the Lego Death Star that they have Sheldon putting together.
In the picture.
Obviously, that's from a previous episode.
A friend of mine actually put that thing together, and he said it took him like 2.5 months.
Oh, they're crazy. I've seen some time-lapse videos of some of these Star Wars Lego builds, the bigger ones, and something that we were talking about in the Citadel Cafe a few months ago is the Executor, the Super Star Destroyer from Empire and Return of the Jedi, and it's something like a $500 Lego set.
Holy crap.
It's a meter and a half long.
Wow.
Like, my God.
You need to have a mantle large enough to hold it
yeah.
before you can put it together. I don't remember how much it weighs. I mean, like, Lego is, I mean, it's plastic. It's not heavy, but with that much of it, I mean, that must be 20 pounds. Like, I mean, that's going to be a hefty piece of kit, right? But I've seen the Death Star one, but I've never seen it this put together. The ones that I've seen on the boxes always have like a lot more of the playset side open with like the rooms and the different levels of the little Lego minifigs and stuff that are all inside. But yeah, no, I immediately was just kind of like, I haven't seen the Big Bang Theory in a while. Star Wars episode would be cool, but I want the Lego Death Star.
Did you guys see the picture this week? I think it's a picture or a video of the Death Star as a mirror ball. No?
Didn't see that.
No?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
That sounds awesome, though.
It is really awesome. I suggest that you go find it. Google it. Do the Google. All right.
I want one of those Star Wars door knockers, the eyeballs, the droids that come out for answering the door. That's the piece of paraphernalia that my life is really missing. You know, like I need like the telemarketer or somebody the solicitors to come to the door and for me to have an eyeball kind of go ichita and just come out and just you know mess with people. I think that would be just great.
You should.
That would be awesome.
Make it, Joel. Make it, and let's make this happen.
I will make it out of Lego.
Ooh.
There you go.
Yep. All right. There you go. So our first story. Let's move on to Brad. This sounds rather interesting. Scientists build incredible Mars in a bottle simulation chamber. What's that all about?
Well, you know, when I saw Mars in a bottle, it made me think of, and I'm a comic book nerd, Superman had in his Fortress of Solitude the bottled city of Kandor, which is, one of the, I'm going to lose my cred here. I believe it was the capital city of
Krypton.
Krypton.
You are correct.
And see, I always want to, because, Supergirl came from, one of the other kind of moons, one of the other colonies, and I always want to put it there for some reason. When I saw that was the first thing I thought of is the bottled city of Kandor. But this is actually a real, honest to God, scientific thing that they're doing. This simulation chamber mimics the environmental conditions on Mars, and the reason why they want to do that is, you know, we saw what happened when the Chinese launched
Jade Rabbit.
Yep. And it failed because it didn't withstand the conditions of the moon. So this is kind of a big thing for us, as we've had like words and scientific knowledge are completely leaving my brain. I apologize. Spirit the first one that went
Spirit,
to Mars?
Spirit and Opportunity were the first two. They arrived around the same time, right?
Yes. Now, the things that they're experiencing right now is the dust of Mars, because they are solar-powered vehicles, the Martian dust blows around and it's covering the solar panels. So over time, and it was planned this way, it was just going to lose power. Now, occasionally they get huge gusts of wind that will blow some of that sand off and they get a little bit more life out of it, but over time it is just going to get covered in dust and it's going to no longer function. So what they wanted to do is create a Mars in a bottle. They have created this whole system where they actually can perfectly, well, at least mimic as best as humanly possible the conditions of Mars, and they can kind of see how things work. They can mimic the temperature, the pressure, the dust, the atmospheric gases, the humidity, the level of radiation, all of this, and they can get equipment inside of it and actually test how these components will work, how long they will function for, and how to make these materials better as we kind of expand our exploration of Mars. And consequently, if we can do something like this for Mars, we could create a Venus in a bottle. We could potentially create other replications of other planets in the solar system and actually test this equipment before we spend the millions of dollars to launch it into space to gather the information that we need to eventually colonize or, you know, just find out more about our solar system. So this is kind of a big step forward, and it is being used. The system is called, it's truncated to the word Marty, which I did a search for it. I can't find – this is built in Madrid Center of Astrobiology. So David is moving a piece of what was that?
That's a rover. That's my own rover.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, so this is at the Madrid Center of Astrobiology. So Marty could actually be something in Spanish. So this this chamber is being used there, and they're going to work on testing some things for the InSight mission, which is going to launch in March of 2016. So a little under 2 years from now. So with this, Mars in a Bottle will be better prepared for equipment to function and last longer on Mars and gather more data for us. So,
you know, what's kind of interesting is they're using the spacecraft that went there before these future missions to actually get a better feel or know more about what the atmosphere is really made of.
Yep.
So they're using these, the ones that they've brought to Mars who have not really fared too well, but they know what the atmosphere is like so they can make better rovers and better spacecraft.
You know, just even failure is still can be turned into a success. So, you know, even if something doesn't work, if you learn something from it, you can apply it to something in the future, which is exactly what's happening here. So,
and they really don't need to know exactly, like we don't need to actually land a craft on a planet to know what the atmosphere is made up, right? Like they can figure that stuff out by like just
they can figure that out through spectroscopy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but you said it better.
And, I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, like, do they have any sense of scale communicated? I mean, there's a really cool diagram, and I mean, there's and things like that, and some pipes, and I mean, I'm kind of guessing at the how big it might be, but like, is it something that a rover would fit in? Is it something that a person would fit in?
I pulled up the excuse me. There's the objective.
Would you really need to have one that's that big anyways? Because you're just putting, like, the metals and the other compounds that you would use on craft, right? And probes and other things, right? You wouldn't need the whole thing. Like, you wouldn't need this whole – you just need the
– Yeah. It's not like you can put a person inside of it, but I think
I'm looking at a picture. It looks to be about the size of a big water cooler.
Yeah, I
was thinking the same thing, Joe.
It doesn't really – I'm just kind of skimming over some other stuff here. It doesn't really give a scale, but there's a picture next to, like, you know, what looks like some computer equipment and a desk, and it looks to be, you know, like 3 or 4 times the height of a laptop screen, that sort of idea. So like you said, large enough to put some components in, but not necessarily large enough for, like, an entire rover or module or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very cool.
You could take a dead body and put, like, human flesh in there to see. I'm kidding.
You could?
Lines have been crossed.
I all of a sudden I want to call Stephanie and tell her to run. Get out the house, Stephanie. Get out now.
It's just, you know, one possibility. You don't have to do it that way. I'm just suggesting it.
Or you could put a chicken breast in there or something. Yes.
A dead pig, maybe?
Well, I don't think it's that big, but...
Wow.
Well, this is really taking a turn. So, hey, they've got this cool bottle that they can manufacture Mars atmosphere in it and test things out at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Should probably move on.
That really took a turn.
What was the planet in Wrath of Khan that they thought it was the one planet? But
SETI Alpha 5!
Yeah, we could do the atmosphere for SETI Alpha 5, right? See how those guys survived in it with their little breathing, their little, what you call it, masks. They were like just pieces of cloth over their faces. They weren't really...
Like surgical masks?
Yeah, surgical masks. I'm gonna get some of those, tell the truth little bugs. Find those.
Oh, God. I still have nightmares about those things. Those are freaking horrible.
Yeah, I know. All right. You guys ready to move on?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, Inessa, you are up next. What do you got for us?
Well, Microsoft is going to be making a show. They're going to be recreating a show that airs in Sweden called Real Humans. And I believe our version is going to be Humans. They're partnering up with Channel 4 in the UK. And I believe it will premiere in 2015, so they're going to get started in 2014. And basically, it takes place in a similar time, not our universe, but there are these humanoid robot servant people that help around the house and just like a maid. They do your shopping, iron your clothes, mow the lawn. But there's one in particular that has been bought secondhand. Like this family buys a synth, or I believe in the Swedish show they call them Hubots, like human robot, so Hubots.
Sure. Oh, cool. Cute name.
Yeah, there was a trailer in this link for the Swedish show, and it was a couple minutes long, and they called them Hubots. I don't know if they're going to keep that here. I'm guessing not, because they have synth in parentheses. I like Hubots. Anyway, so they end up buying this Hubot secondhand, and the mother is like, no, 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 like, we totally shouldn't do that. But the thing is there were things that happened for this Hubot to be acquired. It was basically, like, stolen from someone, and in a, I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know what else was really going on. I think the person that it was stolen from kind of, like, loved their Hubot.
In what way?
But, yeah, apparently it harbors a dark secret. So it was...
In what way?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, I really don't know. Because I don't know how much, like the American show is going to be like the Swedish show. And basically, like, the story is saying that there's a dark secret. But from the trailer, it didn't look like there was a huge secret to me. Like, it was basically this guy owns a Hubot, and he loves it. And then these other people come and they steal it. And then they wipe its memory, repackage it, and resell it to this family. And the owner, I think, might be a... or the former owner would be not like an android, like a cyborg. Like, maybe they have some mechanical parts to them. Because at some point it looks like he's plugged into something. But like I said, I don't know how much they're going to make it like the Swedish show.
Hey, before we continue, can I ask you guys, are you seeing Anessa on the big screen, on the big part of the screen?
No.
Yes.
Anessa.
I also pick Dave and stare at Dave the whole time.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. No, I had to click on her to get her to stay up on the big screen. You're hearing her, right? Everybody's hearing her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
As long as you guys hear me, I think that's the whole point of the podcast.
Okay, all right. Just making sure. Just want your time on the big screen, that's all.
Nobody needs to see my face.
All right.
Oh.
I'm here to talk about a story, not show people my face.
Your boyfriend loves your face.
Yeah.
Aww. Every day.
And I just threw up in my mouth.
Wow, romance is dead.
Yeah, Brunessa strikes again.
Okay.
No.
See? That's how I get you two to stop.
So, okay. Anessa, is there a timeline for this show when it's going to be produced in the U.S.?
I mentioned that it was going to be being in the summer of this year and premieres next year.
Oh, okay. All right. That's how much I was paying attention. I apologize.
It was early on, so okay. If you forgot, it's okay.
All right.
So, I forgot, too.
It was so long ago. I forgot.
No. I have the short-term memory of goldfish.
If you guys have a couple minutes, got the at least the Swedish trailer. It's actually pretty interesting.
There's subtitles?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Anything with robots, I'm excited about. Robots, androids, that kind of stuff. It's cool. Because I think that's actually a look at our future. I think we're going to be... I for one welcome our robot overlords in the very near future.
just watching the trailer as you were talking, Anessa, it gives me a very kind of Blade Runner meets the new Star Trek movies that have come out from Abrams. You know, like there's a lot of white, shiny, very crisp design in the home that receives the synth.
Right.
But the premise of just having like a robot or an android with a deep dark secret and having them be so lifelike and so kind of like, there's a little bit of a doll aspect to the design of how they've like given the actor that plays the robot like the makeup and stuff like that. And it does remind me a little bit of Blade Runner. So, I mean, it looks like a really interesting show. Maybe a little bit of, oh gosh, what was the name of the Battlestar Galactica spinoff?
Like the Cylons? Oh, Caprica?
Caprica, yeah. Yeah, a little bit of Caprica thrown in there too. Yeah, it's very cool.
I like the idea of there's a secret and the secret's buried within the memory that was lost, right? Because this robot or this android loses they get their memory wiped. But it somehow will probably come back eventually.
It might not have been wiped completely.
Okay.
Maybe they forgot, like some cookies. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how anybody forgets cookies.
Oh.
All the other kind of cookies. Right.
Yeah, there's that.
I'm hungry now. Thanks, Joel.
You're welcome.
All right, cool. That sounds interesting. Any science fiction on TV, I look forward to. Definitely.
Yeah, it'll be on Xbox, and it's supposed to premiere simultaneously on the Xbox and the UK's Channel 4, so I don't know if Xbox is just going to flip a switch so people can start streaming at the same time.
It's interesting the landscape that we're living in, and all these shows are being, you know, premiering on these other platforms like Netflix and Amazon and Xbox. It sounds like Xbox is really doubling down on their original programming.
They're trying.
Yeah, well, they have to. Yeah, agreed. In order to stay relevant, they absolutely have to. We were looking at a show the other day. I think it's From Dusk Till Dawn. The 100. And Jocelyn and I were looking at, we didn't watch it, but we were reading the description about this kind of post-apocalyptic future where 100 individuals are sent back to repopulate a previously doomed Earth. And it looks like it's actually running joint with another production company or a network where it is premiering on Netflix for those, that's where they want it, but then it's also premiering on TV and they're just kind of like, you know, next day release or something on Netflix.
It's the first time that I've seen that happen. It's, it's on the CW in the States and CW in Canada because CW comes in on cable channels, and it's also on Netflix. And I don't know, have you guys seen that on Netflix before? The whole, because they usually wait until at least the first season's done and then they release it. If it's originally a TV show. This is more of a, I don't know if you're familiar with Hulu, Joel. This is more of a Hulu.
I know of it, yeah.
Okay. It's more of a Hulu model of doing things.
Hulu model, yeah. I find it really interesting that it's the CW. We were speculating that it might be sci-fi, but now that you mention CW, the people and all the good-looking teens on the poster makes a lot more sense.
It's a good show. I've watched every single episode of it so far, and it's really good.
We'll have to check it out.
It's very, you'll get a J.J. Abrams vibe because there's a ton of lens flare. When they're on space station, there's a bunch, like, it's J.J. Abrams would be embarrassed the amount of lens flare that this show uses.
Oh, man. Well, are you sure it's just not all the good-looking actors just, like, making the camera freak out? Like, Because I always find this about the CW, where you've got, like, the grittiest, dirtiest, you know, show, and everybody is just pretty.
Yep.
Like, even the guys are just really, really shiny. And he's like, no, even the villains are good looking. Like, give me someone ugly. Like, I want, you know, like the mouth of Sauron as a bad guy, not, you know, James Marsters or whoever. It's like, come on.
If you want dirty actors, go to TNT or go to your AMC. They'll have your dirty actors for you.
Yes. There you go. That's true. Game of Thrones, same thing.
All right. Speaking of, we mentioned Battlestar Galactica a little while ago. That is our next story. It is being rebooted. It's getting the reboot. Universal Studios is ramping up a movie version of the sci-fi franchise Battlestar Galactica, aiming to develop the film as a complete reimagining of the story. So not based on the original series, not based on the reimagined series, but reimagined again, a reimagining of the reimagining. Or a reimagining of the original. Who knows? Transcendence writer Jack Paglin has signed on to write the screenplay. Paglin has also committed to Ridley Scott's Prometheus, sequel, which will go into production this fall. So I'm guessing that will be his next project after Prometheus 2 will be this Battlestar Galactica. Original series creator Glenn Larson producing the new film. And, of course, in 2009, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but back in 2009, speculation emerged that Bryan Singer was attached to direct the new Battlestar Galactica movie. So, yeah, getting a reboot again. What do you guys feel about this? How do you feel?
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I totally don't care. I enjoyed the most recent reboot. I tried to get into Caprica and I didn't quite get there. But the ending aside, and I won't spoil it for anybody, but I enjoyed the series all the way through. It's not been long enough. You know, it's kind of like when they did The Amazing Spider-Man. Not that I'm not excited for The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but, you know, like when they rebooted Spider-Man again, I was just like, didn't they just do this like a couple of years ago? Like it feels, you know, like I don't need to go see another piece of media where we have to wonder who's a Cylon or, oh, there's, you know, robots have revolted against us. Like it's not Battlestar Galactica. I mean, maybe when it first came out was an original idea, but that trope, I guess, has been recycled so much lately that it seems like it's overdone. And I wish that, you know, Hollywood would put more money into some more original pieces. I mean, they're coming. I mean, like I'm looking at a link or a mention in the article that you posted, Dave, and Transcendence starring Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
That looks great. You know, like good acting, good story. It's terrifying. It's got AI. Like, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, futuristic sci-fi stuff that I can get behind. Not like I don't like my Avengers and my Spider-Man, but I with Battlestar Galactica, I mean, there's still people out there that haven't seen the rebooted series. And I don't think a movie is going to get anybody else into the theaters. And I feel like the people that would normally go are going to go with either heavy skeptical attitude or they're just not going to go.
I think they'll get the pants in the seats, butts in the seats if they do a total reimagining of this. Don't have the mysterious who's a Cylon and who isn't angle of the reimagined series. Maybe go like super retro, like old school, like almost like steampunky in space.
Or maybe they could just watch the original series.
I mean, Dirk Benedict, come on. Yeah. Before he was Face, he was Starbuck.
That 80s hair can be hard to get past. The 70s, late 70s, early 80s hair with all the feathering. It's a little hard to soak up.
Wow.
Matt, have you seen the original series, Matt?
No, I've seen no Battlestar Galactica. I don't really care to. Sorry, I probably just broke a lot of hearts.
It's not a surprise.
No, that's par for the course.
Yeah, it's not a surprise
at all.
I'd
say you're doing yourself a bit of a disservice by not checking out the reboot of the new series. Maybe not the whole thing, but like at least the first season. I mean, the miniseries alone was really quite good.
Oh, yeah, Matt, do yourself a favor. Just watch the miniseries and see how you like it. If you don't, that's fine.
Yeah, low commitment.
What? Oh, God dang it.
At least watch Galactica 1980.
No, absolutely not.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it is.
Bad Dave.
Yeah, it is.
It is on Netflix. It's on Netflix in Canada, which means it's probably on Netflix in the States.
I'll look real quick, because this is something I could watch while I run. That's really the only way it's going to happen.
Hey, speaking of original sci-fi, are you guys excited about the... Oh, man. I got Brad disease now. Who was the guy that directed the last three Batman films?
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan?
Yeah, his new space opera movie is coming out. What's it called?
Hmm. I wanted to say Earth to Echo, but that's not it.
No, it's not. No.
That's news to me. I didn't know he was doing that.
Yeah.
Is it Echo?
No, it's not Echo.
No, it's oh, dang it.
It's like Interstellar.
It,
right? Interstellar.
Interstellar.
That's what
yep.
it's called, yeah. Wrap up our news of the week with Joel's story. What do you got for us?
Well, I just spoke about this on the Sigil Cafe this evening. It was my pick of the week, and it is the Micro 3D printer. It is on Kickstarter. If you do a search for it, you cannot miss it because they are making a lot of waves. They are touting themselves as the first truly consumer 3D printer, and rightly so. The cost of the printer is around $300 as far as the Kickstarter is concerned. Yeah. They had set a modest $50,000 goal, which they destroyed in the first 11 minutes of their campaign the other day. As it stands right now, they are at $1.9 million. Which is considerably past their $50,000 goal. So one of the things that this has kind of said to the 3D printer community is that consumers, not prosumers, not necessarily prop makers and sculptors, but everybody is interested, you know, in having at least a taste of desktop 3D printing. And, I mean, growing up watching Star Trek with my dad and seeing, like, the Replicator and slowly over the last few years watching 3D printing get both larger and smaller. Like, I've seen stories online where people have 3D printed homes, at least parts of homes.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of different stuff, furniture, that sort of stuff. But this is the one that really kind of struck a chord with me. I'll admit that there's a little bit of me that says this is kind of too good to be true. The most famous 3D printer being the MakerBot, and their kind of entry level being $1,200.
Yeah.
Which is considerably larger than this. But it kind of makes you wonder what technology or what have they taken out or what have they shrunk or what functionality they've removed in order to reduce the price and cost of this thing down to $300. I don't know enough about 3D printing to kind of say either way. It seems to be pretty straightforward. You know, it's about 8 inches or 7 inches cube. It has a light weight of 2.2 pounds, so it's about the same weight as my MacBook. It's pretty stylish, like it's going to fit easily on your desk. It's USB compatible. They've got filaments at 1.75 millimeters, so it's some small, you know, it doesn't take up a lot of room as far as, you know, the material that you're working with. They have it linked with open source software, so, I mean, if you're just printing off a new cookie cutter or a new shower curtain hook, you're good. If you are a little bit more of a geeky creator like me and you want to customize your own stuff, that's possible too. It's an interesting kind of foray into 3D printing, and the artist in me is really excited about this kind of stuff. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go as far as to buy a micro 3D printer, but I like the idea of competition in this space and the ability for me, if I was, you know, involved in, say, like creature design for a video game or a movie, I could then use something like ZBrush or another 3D software package to model my character, figure out what I want it to look like, how I might want to make it move, and then print it out and have a real physical maquette that I can move around on my desk and say, oh, well, this is what it looks like from a three-quarter undershot, or this is how I might want to make the jaw move. Is that going to work? Are there going to be some complex anatomy issues I'm going to run into? And with the right kind of knowledge, I mean, this could be something that would be really interesting for the art community, which is, of course, where I come from. I only hesitate to say, like, I don't know what that means for copyright. Because when you get this in the hands of everybody and the bar is lowered, you also run the risk of, say, I've decided to you know, put this, make a 3D design, and then I guess it's up to me whether or not I put that online. But if I'm sharing stuff or if you're able to scan in 3D, my friend Peyton on the Sizzle Cafe tonight made a really good point. Like, say, you know, you want to take like a Barbie doll or a Ken doll, you scan them, you shrink them down, and now you've got the capability on your desktop at home to print off Ken and Barbie earrings in fun colors and sell them at the local market. Total copyright infringement.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's by the little guy, and it's something like that is very hard to police. And it raises a lot of questions. It gets me very excited about the space, but it raises a lot of questions. So as far as 3D printing is, you know, goes, where do you guys land as far as like your excitement or your trepidation for the technology?
Well, I think that it's a very exciting, thing because it kind of, people have made a comparison of the whole PC movement, you know, back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, And I can see with the prices going down, it very much mirrors what happened back then because it's getting more and more affordable and people are able to do more and more things with it.
I feel like it's even moving faster than PCs.
Yes.
As far as price drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I would absolutely agree with that. You know, the thing about, I think things like this, you know, we've seen, of course, in the U.S., we had somebody that, made a printable gun. You talk about copyright, people being able to do anything, copy anything, make anything. I think we're going to see copyright is broken in the United States and in the greater community.
Yeah.
You know, taking it from, and I do a lot of copyright stuff where I work, making sure that, you know, copyright images are not on our sites and that's a constant job. People grabbing content and putting it in their blogs in our company happens quite a bit. So I'm constantly policing that. I think that things like this are going to actually force us to look at copyright and attempt to fix it because technology has progressed at this point now, once things like this are out on the market, well beyond what's already broken to a much larger problem. We're going to have a bigger problem that needs to be addressed. And I think this might force the hands of people to get off their butts and actually start to work on this, to fix it, to make it better. Cause it's got to happen. Or there's going to be a lot of tears and a lot of lawsuits, flying around. So I think things like this are going to make that happen, and it has to happen soon.
I mean, and I agree. I mean, and things are moving forward at such a frantic pace.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it really is forcing the hand as far as copyright is concerned. I mean, on a positive note of the story, as far as invention is concerned, I think it's really going to be interesting to see what other things are going to stem out of the ability to do 3D printing and 3D prototyping in your own home. So, I mean, all of the people that are running Kickstarters, like these guys, where they can't prototype or manufacture because it's cost prohibitive for the little guy. If you have, you know, access to a 3D printer, if you're doing it a device or something that's, you know, smaller than, you know, 8x8, then, you know, the ability to then test your product and get things out quicker, I think 3D printing as a whole, we're going to see a huge advance in technology in general quite quickly. And I think it's going to drive a lot of stuff.
Joel, did you see the story about the father that his son had he was born without one of his hands?
I didn't see it directly, but I certainly heard about it. I think I was listening to a podcast where somebody actually brought it up as one of their articles that they wanted to talk about.
Sure.
Where he printed the hand.
Yeah, essentially he printed a hand that his son could use. And they occasionally, you know, through the process of, and he has access to digital printing to be able to have something like this in your home, the chances or the ability for people with prosthetics to be able to repair parts that wear out. I think, God, that would be so huge.
At low cost, too.
Yeah, and incredibly low cost.
I just recently... I read something recently about how they printed a part of a skull, I want to say. And that was the first...
I heard that, too.
That was the first time they did that with a 3D printer, which is amazing.
Yeah, I know that prosthetics is something that I find very interesting as far as, you know, it's kind of like we've always seen so many, I guess, versions that are meant to mimic or look exactly like, you know, or as close to what we can perceive as a replica human leg or a replica human arm or hand. And, when you've got a situation where it's a child, whether born without a limb or losing a limb in an accident, it's cost prohibitive to then buy a new arm as this child is 10, 12, 14, growing and getting, you know, outgrowing their clothes as fast as they outgrow their limbs. And to be able to cheaply, you know, reproduce, like, oh, you grew an inch this year, kid, time for a new arm, you know? What color do you want it to be? Do you want to have polka dots? Like, you know, does it have to look like an arm, Dad? Can I have a scaly arm this time? Can I have, you know, like the designer in the imagination in me just kind of says, like, you know, like if I was to lose an arm in an accident, like I can't say that I would want to replace it with an arm that looks just like an arm. I think and I hope that I would have I wouldn't say confidence, but I think I would try to make the most of an opportunity to say, like, what kind of cool Terminator arm could I build myself, you know, and have as much functionality or as much, you know, style and as another form of expression for these people that have usually been limited to what the mass market is producing as far as a replacement limb is concerned. And I mean, like, 3D printing, you know, limbs and not limbs, but prosthetics. It's just a crazy, fantastic opportunity.
I think of food production too, and especially third world countries, the ability to bring in a few 3D printers and then start printing, you know, once they get to that point where they can print food. I know they can print some types of food, but more of the sustainable food, the food that people that need in those kind of countries. I mean, that's going to be a huge step forward in 3D printing technology as well.
Yeah, I almost think in like third world cases, you would maybe print agricultural utensils or other things that could, you know, help with the production of food to kind of create some kind of sustainability or, God, I don't know what the right word that I'm looking for, but the ability to give them the tools that they need to help themselves and try to build and get them to where they need to be to help, you know, feed their communities.
Water filtration.
Not a precise analogy, but like, don't build them a fish, build them a net.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Water filtration, maybe a better bathroom, you know, for sanitation purposes.
Well, could you imagine having a printer that was large? I mean, we've already seen stories where that, I can't remember what country it was, but that guy was using a larger 3D printer to build sections of a house. Could you imagine FEMA being able to roll in somewhere and be able to print shelters for people to, you know, you get 5 or 10 of these things running nonstop and you'd be able to, you know, crank out components to build houses.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I found a story a little while ago. It's not 3D printing, but it's along the same sort of lines as quick, you know, not permanent, but quick relief housing. And it's a combination of, a cement coated fabric, water. And then they basically just fill this sack with water. It expands into a home, like into a domed kind of tent, and then it hardens rock solid in like a couple hours.
Wow!
And just, you know, to be able to, you know, they're talking. I mean, sure, for third world and that kind of stuff, but also for like emergency relief efforts for like, you know, tornado and typhoon and floods, and like it's just really, really interesting to see where some of what is deceptively simple technology, like it's water, cement, and fabric, but it's the idea and the technology behind it that allows it to be delivered, you know. And I mean, like, all of this 3D printer stuff works with plastics. I mean, it's PVCs, it's ABS. I mean, if you can get anything that will sustain the environment and sustain, you know, water, I mean, like, you could print indoor plumbing, you know, for certain areas and stuff like that, or even just outdoor, like, you know, sewage and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. The possibilities are endless, pretty much.
Hmm.
And we're going to need all that shelter after humanity gets wiped out from the robot apocalypse.
I think it would be really cool. And, you know, if I were somebody who maybe lost a limb, if you were able to, if you had the design acumen to be able to say, okay, I've got my Terminator arm that I can put on today, or I've got my suit of armor, you know, my arm that I can put on today, to have that flexibility to express yourself. And, you know, if you were able to print your own prosthetics, that would be so wonderful.
Cosplay to the next level right there.
And functionality, too. Like, I don't want to hold this. I want to stick it in my arm.
Yeah.
As far as an iPhone is concerned, or, you know, any new kind of, like, wearable technology that Apple or anybody else is coming out with, I mean, as all this kind of stuff gets smaller and smaller, like, you could include electronics, you could include all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I actually have two things I want to cover. Speaking of Joel's comment about wearable technology, I was at a concert at the House of Blues in Chicago this weekend, and a friend of mine pointed out there was a girl, people had their cell phones out, they were taking pictures, and I looked out and there's a girl with her Galaxy Watch taking pictures of the show.
Oh my God.
Which was something I've never seen before. Anyways, I wanted to go back and talk about, actually, in one of my classes, we talked about the idea of stem cell research as it pertains to someone that loses a limb. And I thought about this when you guys were talking about the ability to 3D print an arm if you lost it. And that is a drastically different concept, because stem cell research and all that stuff can basically create superhumans by concept, per se. But I think along the same lines is if you know, if I do something stupid and I lose a leg, I can just print myself a new one. And there, you kind of lose some of the accountability for some of your actions if you just know that I can just get a new one. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I guess, I'm sorry, when I was talking, I mean, like, when I say arm or whatever, it's prosthetic.
And that's why I said it's kind of different, because you're not regrowing an arm, you're just replacing one. But it kind of, I still think that, you know, if I play the drums, that's, you know, part of what I've done my entire life. And I've always thought about when I do things, you know, if I drive like an idiot and I get into a car accident and I lose my arm, there goes something I've done for, you know, almost 20 years. Yep. Now, if we can 3D print me an arm, I don't really care about driving 100 anymore, because if I get into an accident and lose my arm, I'll just print a new one. You know what I mean? So, yes, two drastically different things, but I still think you kind of lose some of the personal accountability for some of the actions.
And I think with technology in general, that kind of takes, that factors out a few things. That factors in people being more careless, because, like, you go into the future of a computer that detects if you have cancer or not and then gets rid of it, then you can sit in a tanning bed all you want and not have to worry about it, you know?
You can smoke cigarettes all you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, God, I would love to be able to smoke cigarettes again.
No, you don't, Dave.
It smells.
Yeah, you don't want to smell like just a rotting ashtray.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right,
but,
good.
I mean, it's the same point. If I knew that if I got liver or lung cancer or anything, who cares what I do anymore? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So basically
what you're saying is it's going to make us all careless and not care about what we're doing anymore.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, good point. All right, thanks, Joel. Great story. That was a lot to talk about. And if anybody listening has feedback on any of the stuff that we talked about tonight, you can leave us feedback. We have an email address that's galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. And our voicemail number is 805-320. Oh, shite. Anessa?
805-328-3966.
That's too many letters.
Yeah. You know, Joel, I've had that voicemail since 2011, and I can never remember it. I can
805 oh shite has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that from now on. No, 805-328-3966. That is correct voicemail number.
When you first could pick your phone number, a guy that I got tattooed by a bunch picked the number eight-ish.
Somebody,
it's easy to remember.
Make a note.
Make a note.
Where Matt swore, and I'll have to take that out later on. All right. So before we get out of here, let's check in with the what we're watching weekly, Galactic Netcast Summer Movie Draft. I know we briefly touched on it at the top of the show, but Matt and my team, Team Car Ramrod, we are at number one. We're in first place with Captain America the Winter Soldier making $95,023,721.
Hey, Dave, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
How's the air on top? Because it's pretty thin up here for me.
Yeah, no, I feel it. I don't feel it
so far on top.
Yeah, no.
That would be all the methane from the bullfish.
Make a note.
Yeah, make a note. Another swear word. Bye, Brad. So we'll see what happens in week two. Two movies being released this week: Draft Day and Rio 2. The What We're Watching Weekly team has Draft Day, and Matt and I have Rio 2. So you can keep up with the summer movie draft by going to galacticnetcasts.com. We've got a special page all set up for it. You can follow along with us all summer long and support your favorite Galactic Netcast or what we're watching weekly post. All right. Hey, Joel, tell us all about what you are up to online. Where can people find you? What you're doing? That kind of thing.
Wow, that's a long list. Let me see if I can get through it all succinctly. You can go to joelduggan.com and find just about a link to everything that I'm doing online. If you're interested in comics, then starcrossedonline.com is where you can read Starcross. It's my weekly webcomic. If you like podcasts like this one, I do the Sigil Cafe every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on Alpha Geek Radio. And that currently has actually gone into a weekly episodic recap of Game of Thrones. So it's a spoiler cast for this particular season. So if you haven't caught up before you listen to the show, tough crap. You're going to have to pause and come back later. But we have a lot of fun on the show talking about Game of Thrones. We're big fans. And other than that, I do have a Patreon page that I just launched a little while ago. So I'm experimenting with the value for value model. If you like Starcrossed and you want to help me make more comics, swing on by patreon.com/JoelDuggan and take a look at some of the goals that I've set out for myself.
All right.
Twitter, just my name, Joel Duggan.
All right. Joel Duggan, thank you very much for being our guest geek on this edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club.
My pleasure, sure.
Let's see. We have something for that. No, we don't. I thought I had applause here. I need to add applause to the soundboard. Or we can just like.
Hold on.
Yay.
Here we go.
There we go. Or we can play the TARDIS sound. I like that too.
Or we could do this.
Or we can get the lightsabers out, have the lightsaber fight.
You guys are like two children right now.
My toes
are bigger than yours.
Strong. I love technology.
Anyways, Joel, thanks for joining us.
I'm tired and I want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Joel, and thanks for joining us, everybody. You can follow us. Go to galacticnetcasts.com. We have links to our social page, Google+, Facebook, Twitter. You can find out the links to subscribe to the show. Go to iTunes, or we're also on Stitcher Smart Radio. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. And I call this meeting adjourned. Hang on. I always am not ready for this. Here we go. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Thanks, Joel.
Bye, Dad.
Thanks, guys.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.